I'm a world changer.
This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
One of the reasons why it is time for us to talk about living in the balance of faith and grace is because you as Christian people, myself included, it's time for us to know how to walk in the manifestations of what grace has already provided. It is not enough for you to know that by grace you're already healed, by grace you're already delivered, by grace you're already prosperous, by grace you're already sound. It's great to know, and it's great to know that the favor of God has been made available to you so that without your performance and your work and your efforts, you're not having to do something to cause these things to be made available. Jesus has already done it. But how do we operate in the manifestations of what grace has already done? In other words, if healing has already been made available, how do we walk in that healing that's already been made available? It's a sad thing that something can be made available to you and you never are able to walk in it. Something could be made available to you and it never seems to manifest in your life. And I believe Jesus wants you to walk in the manifestations of it. I believe walking in the manifestations of the grace of God is actually the glory of God. And I believe it's time for you to walk in the glory of God. I believe it's time for you to walk in everything that has been made available to you by the grace of God. I don't believe it has to be this thing where, you know, you just know about what Jesus has done for you, what grace has done for you, what Jesus has done for you, what grace has done for you. Remember, grace is not a curriculum. It's not a subject matter. Grace is a person. His name is Jesus. Jesus, full of grace and truth. Grace is unmerited, undeserved favor. And by the grace of God, without your work and your performance and your effort, He has made healing available to you. It's available. He did it 2,000 years ago. By His grace, He has made deliverance available to you, salvation available to you, prosperity available to you. It was done 2,000 years ago. But the question for those who have understood this grace of God: how do I access it? How do I lay hold of this on purpose and not make a faith mistake and have no idea how to access it? I believe every son and daughter of God needs to know how to access what their Heavenly Father has made available for them, don't you? And so we want to begin to look at this, and I want to begin to really bring you into a real intense teaching session so you can know how to access it. And I declare over your lives that you will walk in the experience of the grace of God. Amen. Not just knowing the grace of God, but it's time to experience the grace of God in your life. Amen. And so let's look at Romans chapter 5 and 2 and take note of what these are saying here. Romans 5 and 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope or the earnest expectation of the glory of God. So notice, he says we can access this grace, but we do it by what? By faith. So we have access into this grace by faith. You see, it's important that you live in the balance of grace and faith, because, you know, I see people in these last days, you know, well, I'm a grace person and not a faith person. Somebody says I'm a faith person and not a grace person. No, it takes both of them. You know, sodium is poisonous by itself and chloride is poisonous by itself. But when you put them together, you have salt and it'll add flavor to your meat. Well, I want to add some flavor to your life. Amen. And the way we do that is to show you how to live in the balance of faith and grace. Not to say that you have to choose one over the other, but you got to have both of them in order to see that flavor show up in your life. Amen? Let's go to Romans 4:16. So we have access to this grace by what? By faith. All right, now look at verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Boy, look at that. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, and not that only which is of the law, but to Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, look at this one in the Amplified Bible. So he says here, it is going to be by faith that we'll be able to see all of these things, that grace. Now, look at the Amplified. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith. Man, you can't argue with that. Inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith, and it depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited, God's unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all of his descendants, not only to the devotees and the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. So notice the outcome, the total outcome of it is going to be depend entirely on faith. So now, what does that tell you? You know about what grace is made available, but he says the outcome of that coming on your life is going to be based on faith. So it's not just, you know, praise God, I thank God that, you know, that grace has been given. Yes, you do. But now how do you access it? How do you lay hold on what has been made available by grace? He says you do it by faith. Now look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, and we'll look at this a little bit more because it's important. Now recall the day that you made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Recall the day that you got born again, the day that you received salvation. If you can understand what happened when you got saved, then you can understand that that's the same thing you do to get healed, to get delivered, to prosper, to lay hold of what grace is made available. Notice in verse 8, for by grace are you what?
Saved.
But how'd you get it?
Grace.
You're saved by what?
Grace.
But how'd you get it?
Grace.
How'd you access it?
Grace.
Through faith. That's so important. So salvation was made available by grace, but in order for you to be saved, you had to access it through your faith. Now, that's how you do everything. Everything that's been made available by grace, you access it through faith. It's available, but it takes, you take possession of it through your faith. Now, let me show you where we are today, and I want you to really think about this. There are two groups in the earth today. You got those who emphasize grace. That's God's part. Somebody say, that's God's part. And you have those who emphasize faith. That's our part. Say, that's my part. All right, let me say that again. Two groups available in the earth today. Those who emphasize grace and then those who emphasize faith. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part. Don't ever try to make grace your part. Grace is not your part. Grace is God's part. Grace is something that has been made available to us by God, not by you. Grace is God's part, faith is your part, and now we're talking about how to get God's part in manifestation into your life, which is going to require your part. That's interesting there. Now, here's the big questions that are on the line here. What part is God's responsibility? Number one, what part is God's responsibility? Number two, what part is my responsibility? Number three, what must I do to see the manifestation of his promises in my life? Well, we've answered those questions. God's responsibility is grace. My responsibility is faith. And what do I have to do to see the manifestations of his grace into my life? I've got to live and learn how to live the balance of faith and grace. Now, please understand something. Anything in the extreme is going to equal error. Anything in the extreme is going to equal error. It's going to lead to error. If you begin to live your life in the extreme, if you're understanding, you start living in extreme grace, then it's going to lead to lasciviousness and a very passive life where you think you ain't got to do nothing because you're under the grace of God. If you live in the extreme of faith, then that's going to lead to legalism, where now you think you can, through your faith, you can make God do whatever you want him to do. And so we want to stay away from extremes, and we want to learn how to live in the balance of this faith and this grace. If you understand that, say amen.
Amen.
So now one group teaches everything is totally up to God. Now here's what the extreme of grace looks like. The extreme of grace looks like everything is totally up to God, whether it's good or bad, it's God's will. That's the extreme in faith. So if something bad happens, extreme grace says if something bad happens, that's the will of God. Extreme grace says if something good happens, that's the will of God. Extreme grace says, you know what, you know, if you had a wreck, that was the will of God. Extreme grace says if something, you know, if you got blessed, that was the will of God. So extreme grace says, it uses this old bad doctrine of sovereignty that the extreme grace people teach. They say that God is a sovereign God. Now, hey, I believe God is a sovereign God, but I believe he's a sovereign God based on the correct definition. And the definition of sovereign means that he is head, he is sovereign, he's number one, uno. It's not what religion defines it as. He is everything that happens in your life, whether it's good or bad, it's the will of God. I don't believe that. Because if that were the truth, then why get up in the morning? If whatever happens is the will of God, why wake up? You know, if you have a bad day, that was God's will. If you have a good day, that was God's will. You know, why do anything? Since if everything that happens is the will of God, then why even get up in the morning? So that's the extreme view that people who are in extreme grace look at. Now, the extreme faith people, they look at this idea of in the extreme faith, the other group teaches that no one will have to, no, you can't have this, you got to do this in order to get that. No, you have to do this and not that, you got to do this and not that, and now it becomes legalism. It becomes legalism, you know, if you don't do this, then that's not going to happen. No, you got to do that in order to get that to happen. No, you can't do that if you don't want that to happen. That's legalism. And now you think you become deceived that your performance is the reason why God's doing stuff. You get deceived into thinking that your performance is why you got healed, that your performance is why you got a promotion, that your performance is why you got delivered. That's extreme faith. And so now what we've got to do is we got to live in the balance of faith and grace. Because there are lots of people that come to church right now. They will think, well, I pray 3 hours a day, and that is why God is good to me. No, it's not. God decided 2,000 years ago to be good to you, not because you're good, but he decided to be good to you because he's good. But extreme faith people want to say, well, it's because I did all of these things. That's why that happened. It's because I sang in the choir and usher on the usher board. That's the reason why I got that promotion. And God ends up getting no credit for that. Some of you are being challenged by your religion. It's what you've heard before. It's kind of like I use this illustration of, you remember, some of you remember the vinyl albums and records with the needle. You know, and millennials are like, what? I saw it in a museum when I went to Washington. I saw this in a museum. And you got those grooves around it, and then you put the needle on the record, and it just goes with the grooves. All the way to the end, just goes with the grooves. Well, you got to be careful your thinking is not like that. That you just kind of go with the groove, the thing that has already been set in your thinking. See, what I'm trying to do is you remember how when you used to scratch that needle and you put who scratched my record? Because when there's a scratch on that, when there's a scratch on that, remember when you put the needle? It just goes all the way to the end. It skips everything. I'm trying to scratch your record this morning. So you will bypass all that bad thinking and come to the place where I am right now and understand it is not you that's responsible for all the things that Jesus has done for you. It is Jesus, the shedding of his blood, the sacrifice of his body. And if it were not for Jesus, you and I would not have available to us all the things we have available to us. And the church said amen. And so now Ephesians 2 and 5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved. Now, if you stop there at verse 5, you would assume, based on what you just read, by grace you are saved. And you would think all you need, and you can hear somebody saying, well, you don't need to do anything else because by grace you are saved. Is everybody following me? But now you got to read on through this. Look at verse 8 and 9. See, you're thinking, well, you know, forget about faith because by grace you are saved. Grace is not going to ever be alone without faith. Look at verse 8. For by grace you are saved. Watch this. Through faith. So what was he saying? He says grace has made salvation available. You're saved. It was made available by Jesus, grace. But if you want it to manifest in your life, you're going to have to get it through what? Faith. So it's not going to... See, grace has made everything available. Everything that you'll ever need in your life has already been made available by the grace of God. Everything you need in life has already been made available. Look at... let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now I'm working on something here. Now I'm wanting to teach based on the religion and the grooves that I know that church has put in your mind. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now check out verse 3. According as his divine power hath given, hath past tense, already done it, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Everything that pertains to your life has already been given. You already have everything you'll ever need. I guarantee you, you tell me what you've been praying about, and I'll tell you it's already done. See, if I can get you to make that adjustment, if you can make that adjustment in your thinking, it's already done. See, certainly you have to understand, if God called the end from the beginning, you have to understand that there's nothing that you go through that he doesn't already know about, or he didn't already know about. And so wherever you are today, God already knew you would be there and has provision for where you are right now today. Now, he's already made provision. Now, will you get in faith so that those provisions can be manifested in your life? And so here's how you do that. All of a sudden you think, all right, God, you knew I would be here today. You knew this situation would be here today. You knew I would need supply today. So, Father, I thank you that the provision has already been made available. Give me the wisdom. Show me how to walk. I'm at the right place at the right time so that I can receive what you've already. The solution has already been made available. I receive it by faith. That's how you connect with what he's already made available. But if it just happens and you turn negative, see, no, nothing good happened to me. See there? Look at that. The devil is so busy. You're not connecting to what Jesus has already made available. You're opening the door for Satan to come in and to wreak havoc in your life. I know it's small, but it's going to make the difference in your life. Do you believe that everything you will ever need that pertains to life hath already been done? If you believe that, you've won half the battle. The rest of it is just responding properly to what you say you believe. All right. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and 3. Oh, I need to teach this like 100 times. Because I'm hungry for you to walk in manifestation. I'm tired of seeing you wonder, where is God? If there's a God, did I make God mad? What happened? God's plan for you, God's plan for your future is good. God doesn't have a bad plan for your future. Even though you've been bad, he still don't have bad. God is not the guy that says, you know what, I ain't gonna never forget the bad you did 20 years ago. I'm gonna get you back, boy. I'm coming for you. That's not God. God has good planned for your future. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has nothing but good planned for my future. So get out of this fear thinking that God's going to get you. Honey, if God wanted to get you, you'd have been got. God's not mad at you. God's not trying to hurt you, destroy you, make you sick, cause you to have a wreck. That's not God. God's not even in a bad mood where you're concerned. God loves you. God knows you. God's ready to provide for you. He's ready to serve you. You don't have to sit up here, well, I better go to church so lightning gonna hit me. That is not God. That's not God. There's a devil loose, amen? And Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But he came that you might have what? Life, and have it what? More abundantly. Somebody say, abundant life. That's God's will for my life. But knowing God's will doesn't mean it's going to automatically come to pass. God's will doesn't automatically come to pass. So I access it by faith. Now look at Ephesians chapter 1 and 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and 3. All right, let's read verse 3 out loud together. Ready? Read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. When you got born again, you got in Christ, all right? All right, now listen to me now. The day you got born again and got in Christ, every blessing... you have access to every blessing. There is not any blessing that exists as a blessing that you don't have access to. Dude, so you walking around, where it at? Well, it's in heavenly places. Where that at? That's in Christ. Where you at? See, every spiritual blessing is the root to every physical blessing. The spirit world is the parent world over the physical world. In other words, there cannot be physical blessings if there are not first spiritual blessings, because without spiritual blessings, you can't have no physical blessings. Are you listening to me? So he hath already done it. He's already given you all spiritual blessings, which means you now have the potential to see all physical blessings if you can recognize the spiritual blessings. Say out loud, I have been blessed with everything that's called the blessing. And once God has blessed you, he won't take it back. Y'all don't even hear what I'm saying. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. You remember, we'll study it, but he said to this guy, he said, look, he said, he tried to curse Israel, and it wouldn't take. And he finally responded, he says, I can't curse what God has blessed. So if you are blessed now because you're in Christ, you can't be cursed, because what God has blessed cannot be cursed. I'm a
world changer. This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
The objective of this series is to get believers in a position where they know and understand their part in receiving the manifestations of the finished works of Jesus Christ. Now, we believe that everything that we need in life has already been made available. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and 3 that you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In fact, put that up, Ephesians chapter 1 and 3. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So everything that you need in life, the Bible says you've already been blessed with those spiritual blessings. Now, if you have spiritual blessings, you now have what you need to have physical blessings. You now have what you need to have the manifestations of all physical blessings. Notice that he hath, past tense, blessed you or empowered you to have success with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, and Christ is on the inside of each one of you. So you are walking around with the blessing on the inside of you. It's the question of, what do I need to do to see it manifested in my life? What do I need to do to see the good that's in me to be manifested in my life? What do I need to do to see healing that I already have in me manifested on my body? What do I need to do to see provisions that are already in me manifested in the affairs of my life? So it's not a case of you having to go to God to make him do certain things so that these things can begin to manifest in your life. God's already done his part. He's already done everything that's needed for your life. It has already been done. It's a done deal. That's what Jesus meant when he came and died on the cross and shed his blood. He said, it is finished. The repair is finished. The reset is finished. It is ready for you. And so we've got to spend some time looking at, what is it that we need to be doing in order to see these things manifested in our lives, that we've been blessed already with all spiritual blessings? Say out loud, I have it on the inside of me. So the next time you go to praying and asking God for something, just remind yourself, you already have it on the inside of you. Your deliverance, you already have. It's already been done. Your healing's already been done. Your new job's already been done. God called the beginning at the very end, at the end, at the very beginning. So that means anything that's going on in your life right now, he's already addressed it. It's already been provided. It's already done. If you were to wake up today and you find yourself in a very weird situation, usually you'd remind yourself, well, God already knew this was going to happen. He's already provided for this situation. So your prayers need to be, Father, I need you to show me and give me wisdom on what I need to do, how I need to move, because this has already been provided and I don't have any fear that you've already taken care of it, and I believe I receive it right now in the name of Jesus. You carry your life like that, amen? You believe this thing has already been taken care of. Now, I know sometimes you think, well, God knew these things would happen. Did he cause it to happen? He didn't cause it to happen, but his foreknowledge knew that these decisions would be made and this situation would be made, and so he provided for decisions, even bad decisions that we would make. Even wrong decisions that we would make, you know, eating the wrong thing that would make us sick, going the wrong place when he told you not to go, testing that out and trying that out. He already knew, but he loved you so much, he made provisions. And so in the midst of anything crazy, you need to know the grace of God rises higher than any situation that shows up in your life. In other words, you're going to be just fine. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, everything is going to be all right. Man, that's comforting to me, to know that no matter what happens today, I just need to know that Jesus has already gotten it taken care of. See, if you don't back up and start operating in this thing that says, well, I don't understand this, and just realize, wait a minute, he's already fixed this thing, then no matter where you find yourself, you just pause a little bit and say, all right, now, Lord, you already have provisions for this. Show me what I need to do. Give me wisdom. Talk to me. I'm trusting you in this situation. And you'll find yourself coming out without yielding to fear or panic or oppression. Everything. I don't care what's happened in your life. I need you to just tighten up a little bit and just say, God, I know you've taken care of it. I will not panic. I will not fret. I will not lose my peace. And be bold enough to say, like that Shunammite woman, all is well with me. Amen. Turn to somebody else and tell them, all is well with me. Amen. That's a blessing. What a blessing. Amen. And so we're talking about, since grace has made everything available, we're talking about how do we tap into those things? How do we tap into all of the provisions that have been made available to us? How do we tap into those provisions? Now, go to Romans chapter 5 and 2. What I am saying to you is that, you know, sometimes you find yourself doing things and you're trying to figure out, why am I doing this? Why this hadn't happened? Why is this going on? God got you, man. God knows the path that we should take. And even if you made a wrong turn, God will lead you down the street. And before you know it, there's a curve, and he'll detour you right now. You just got to trust everything's going to be all right. You just got to trust everything's going to be all right. Sometimes your attitude determines how high you go. It's how you act when you're going through something that really determines how you're going to come out. You can go through something, just be just all nutty and mad and just mean at everybody and spit on people and you get on my nerves and all y'all and then start feeling sorry for yourself. Don't nobody love me. You know, everybody hates me. That's why I got to eat, you know, soup, whatever. Just make your mind up. God's on my side. He's never let me down. He won't let me down. I mean, if somebody says, well, that's God trying to show you something, you know, yeah, he's trying to show you your path out of that situation. God's a good God. Say out loud, God's a good God. God's not a bad God, he's a good God. Amen. All right. So Romans chapter 5 and 2, let's get into this. Verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. So we've got to learn how to balance grace and faith. And the scripture says here, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we access this grace, we access the finished works of Jesus, we access the healing, the deliverance, all that other stuff. We access it by faith. And so now all of a sudden, faith becomes a big thing. So we don't want to just choose, well, I'm going to choose to be a grace person or I'm going to choose to be a faith person. You want to make sure that you operate in the balance of faith and grace. Grace has made everything available. Faith appropriates it or takes possession of it. Grace made everything that you ever need in your life. Faith takes a hold of the thing. And so we have to have both of them to see the manifestations of what grace has made available to us. Now let's go to Romans 4:16. Romans 4:16. I really want to minister this to you this morning. I want to minister this word into your spirit this morning. Romans 4:16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. Now look at this in the Amplified Bible. Because everything depends totally on your faith if it's going to be by grace. Romans 4:16 in the Amplified. Everything depends totally, totally on your faith if it's going to be by grace. He says, therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith, and it depends entirely on faith. Now, that's a radical statement there, that the outcome or the manifestation of what grace made available is going to depend entirely on your faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, his unmerited favor and love. That's powerful. That lets me know that no matter what grace is made available, it's going to take faith to get it, see? So you can't dismiss your faith because now you say, well, you know, we're under the grace of God. And so there are two groups that are available in the earth today, two groups, those who emphasize grace, that's God's part, and those who emphasize faith, that's our part. And so the questions we brought up last week was, number one, what part is God's responsibility? And we said it was grace. Number two, what part is my responsibility? And we said it is faith. And number three, what must I do to see the manifestations in my life? We've got to learn how to live in the balance of faith and grace. I use the illustration that sodium or chloride by itself is poisonous. Sodium by itself is poisonous. But if you put it together, sodium, chloride, you have salt, and you can use it to put flavor on your meat. Amen? Well, if you put grace and faith together, praise God, we can put some flavor in your life, and you can walk in some manifestations. Amen? So you've got to live in the balance of faith and grace. Now, I say live in the balance of faith and grace because what happens is, you can't live in the extreme of faith, all faith and no grace, and then you're in extreme of faith, and you can't live in the extreme of grace, because any time you do anything in the extreme, it's going to lead to what? Error. And you don't want to allow any of those to lead to error. One group teaches everything is totally up to God. The other group teaches that, no, you have to do this and not that. You have to do this and not that. And so if you don't pray long enough, then that's not happening. Then you got to do this a little bit more perfect in order to do that. Well, see, grace in the extreme equals lasciviousness. That means no restraints. It produces a passive Christian that thinks, well, you can just do anything because it really doesn't matter, because after all, it's God's will, whatever happens, good or bad. And that's that real bad doctrine of sovereignty, the sovereignty of God is this teaching that says that God just moves sovereignly. We have nothing to do with his actions whatsoever. And this teaching overemphasizes grace. They teach that God is sovereign, and it's his will for you to be healed, and you'll be healed, and if not, then you'll die. It's just totally up to God. It's that bad teaching that it's an overemphasizing of grace that says whatever will be, whatever happens is God's will. If you have a wreck, that was God's will. If you get cancer, that's God's will. If you get healed, that's God's will. If you don't get healed, that's God's will. And so what happens is that when something bad happens, you immediately get mad at God because you thought, you know, through the sovereignty of God, that was God's will. And why did God let that happen? You hear people say that right now. Why did God let that happen? And people think, well, if somebody died, that was God's will. That's not God's will. A lot of times people die, it ain't God's will at all. This bad teaching, this bad doctrine says that if somebody died, it was God's will. Like he was in heaven picking a number up and said, well, your number came up, so you just got to die because that's God's will. It is not. God has given us the opportunity to live as long as we want to live, and we can make the decision to do that. But because we don't understand that, we think everything is under the sovereignty of God. Then it's God's will that if you broke, you're broke. If you're poor, you're poor. You know, you got some golden pots and you got some mud pots. And if you're a mud pot, then that's just God's will for you to be a mud pot. Ladies and gentlemen, that is wrong. That is not at all what this is about. Sovereign means, it's used as an objective, but the real meaning of it, it means supreme rank or power. It means independent. It's the United States declared it's as a sovereign nation over Great Britain. Sovereign came from a Latin word meaning super or above. I can agree that God is super. He's above. I can agree that God is supreme. It also means that he is paramount. I can agree with that. But religion has come alongside and has given this definition that says sovereignty means that God controls everything and nothing can happen without his permission. God is not sovereign in that way. Because if that's the deal, why even get up in the morning? If whatever gonna happen and it's God's will, why even get up? Just stay in the bed and just whatever happens, happen. So God is sovereign, but he is not sovereign in the way that religion teaches that he is sovereign. That's not how that is. That is an example of an over-extreme emphasis on the grace of God. That now that I'm under grace, we don't have to do anything but just sit back and whatever will be. Don't worry about it. We're under the grace of God. So you can cuss people out because you're under the grace of God. You can sleep with 1,000 people because you're under the grace of God. Bless God, you can even rob the bank a little bit. You know, you're under the grace of God. And not even the popo going to let you get away from that. Why do you think God going to let that happen? And ladies and gentlemen, that is not it. That's grace in the extreme. Now, what does faith in the extreme look like? Faith in the extreme is this idea that your religious performance will make God do something. Faith in the extreme is the idea that if you just fast for 40 days, and if you make confessions every hour on the hour, and fasting is good, making confessions are good, but I'm talking about in the extreme. You have deceived yourself into thinking that you, through your extreme faith, made God do that. And so when the results may pop up in your life, you're going to take the credit for it and say, well, you know, that was me. I did that. You know, I prayed 5 hours, you know, last night. That's why that happened. I shouted until I fell out. That's why that happened. Oh, hallelujah. I talked in tongues for 6 hours. That's why that happens. That is deception. You have to understand God's not good to you because you're good. As good as you possibly can be, that is not why God is good to you. God is good to you, watch this, because he's just good. Okay? And so That's why it's necessary to just really get onto this thing so that we can really see what this is about and what it is not about. But the key is to learn how to live in the balance of faith and grace together. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Now, why am I teaching this series? Because it's time for you guys to start walking in manifestations and know how to intelligently carry yourself in the balance of faith and grace and not have to pull these religious things up and, you know, make yourself look ridiculous because you think this is really impressing heaven. And they're not. I mean, think about it. If Jesus has already done something, why are you doing something to try to get him to do what he's already done? It's no different than me coming to you and say, sit down, and you're already seated. You know how frustrating that is if I keep saying, sit down, and you're already seated. And you're going to God and talking about, heal me, Jesus, heal me, Lord. I need you to heal me right now, Lord. If you can just heal me right now, whatever I need to do, Lord. I know I don't deserve it, Lord. Now you're getting into doubt and unbelief. And the whole time, Jesus is saying, I healed you 2,000 years ago. Don't you know that's why I shed my blood on that cross so you can be healed? So now, knowing that certain things have already been done, now you're going to respond differently from your place. If you know that it's already done, instead of you trying to do things to get him to do what you already know is done, now you reposition yourself in a positive place. You're going to respond positively to what you know has already been done. Now, that changes everything. That changes everything. That changes what you understand about faith. You're no longer going to begin to do those faith things that you used to do before. You're going to have to readjust what faith is and know how to respond. How do I respond to something that's finished? How do I respond to healing that's finished? See, everything about it manifesting in your life is going to be based on how you respond. Because how you respond is going to tell you whether you really believe it or not. I look at preachers, I look at Christians, and I see how they respond. It tells me whether I can see right away they don't believe this is already done. And they're doing all kinds of things. Well, you know, I got to go home. Well, for a pastor. Well, our churches, we're fasting and praying so we can move God. They don't believe God's already moved. They thinking that their fasting and praying is going to move God into a position to do something for them. No, your fasting and praying moves you in a position to receive what God has already done. And so we've just got to make some adjustments so that we can be Christians that are walking in the glory of God's grace, Christians that are walking in the manifestations of God's grace, and not find ourselves hoping that it will happen, but really got a little fear on the side because we just don't know if it's really going to happen. And ultimately, the very bottom line to fear, the very bottom line to fear is the fear that it might not come to pass. I'm afraid that this thing just might not happen. And see, you don't want to get yourself there, but if you don't understand how to live in the balance of faith and grace, that's exactly where every believer ends up. Just a hoping and a praying that God might do it, hoping and a praying that you've just been good enough for him to do it, hoping and a praying that you prayed loud enough, hoping and a praying that you gave enough, hoping and a praying that you came to church in the rain just enough to get God to not forget you when you need him right now. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you have been duped. God Almighty is a God that's so in love with you that he went ahead and planned it all out, set it all up, manifested, put it in storage, and it waits just for you to respond to it, to say, I believe. And all of a sudden, things start showing up in your life that was yours the whole time. I said healing was yours the whole time. Deliverance was yours the whole time. The job was yours the whole time. Oh, man. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Now, here's what I want to show you. I know I have people that are saying, well, I don't agree with that. What you're preaching is the work of the flesh. And I believe that grace alone can do it. Grace alone can do it. All right, well, let's just check that out for a minute. Let's just see this now. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Now, right here in this verse of Scripture, grace is alone. Now, if we leave this thing right by itself, it would say that grace alone saves. That's what it says, for by grace are you saved. And if we just don't read no more, you'll think, all right, see there, the Bible says that by grace you are saved. It didn't say nothing about faith. Yes, it did. You just didn't read long enough. Go on down there to verse 8. And that's half our problems. We half read the Bible. We take a line and lift it out of its context. And once again, the application of a scripture is going to be based on the context that you find the scripture. If you fail to understand the context, then you're probably going to lift a scripture out without understanding the context of it and you end up in the wrong place. Ephesians chapter 2 and 8, for by grace are you what?
Saved.
Yeah, but how you get it?
Saved.
Oh, boy. You're saved by grace, but you got it how? And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So grace is not alone. God has done so much for us by grace. But for us to receive what he has done, there must be a positive response on our part to what grace has done. And that positive response, ladies and gentlemen, is called faith. That positive response to what he has done is called faith. Now, just like you were saved by grace through faith, you are healed by grace through faith, you prosper by grace through faith, you are sound by grace through faith, you are delivered by grace through faith. Everything else in your life happens by the exact same protocol. You got it by grace. You are saved by grace. You received it by grace. It's done by grace, but you get it into your life through faith. Hallelujah. And so what is that faith? It's a positive response to what grace has done. Say out loud, faith is a positive response to what grace has made. So faith is simply our positive response to God's grace. Faith is not something you do to get God to respond. Faith is your positive response to what grace has already done.